Welcome back to the Serving Up Podcast. This is episode 12. This podcast is brought to you by the Chain Restaurant Total Rewards Association, CERTRA for short. CERTRA is a nonprofit HR association focused on restaurant industry employee total rewards, compensation, and benefits. To find out more about us, check us out at CERTRAweb.org. My name is Asia Mons Davis, and I am the Vice President and Treasurer of CERTRA. Today, I have with us Jeannie Pei. Jeannie is the VP of Global Compensation and Mobility at Starbucks, which is headquartered in Seattle, Washington, and has nearly 33,000 units across more than 80 countries. Jeannie has began her career in compensation in 2007, supporting non-retail functions, M&A, and sales. She now leads the teams that support retail and non-retail functions, broad-based compensation, executive compensation, equity, global mobility, tax, and immigration. Ooh, that was a mouthful. Jeannie, if you'd like to say a few words to our audience.
Hi, CERTRA. Happy to be here. Hope you get something great out of today's conversation, and happy to be here with you, Asia.
Thank you, Jeannie. So let's just go ahead and jump into our questions. I gave a little bit of a background about you, but how long have you been in Total Rewards, and what brought you there? Because I know most people don't have a traditional, I really want to be a comp professional background, right? They kind of find themselves.
Right. Totally. So I've been in Total Rewards for 13 years. It actually started when I came to Starbucks, and it was right before I had my first baby. And you're right. The way I came to be in compensation, I didn't even know what compensation was when I came out of school. And I categorize my career journey as a journey of doing the quote unquote right things, but it always felt wrong. And so, you know, I studied econ in undergrad, and at my school, if you studied econ, you were either an investment banker or a strategic consultant. So I said, yeah, that's what I want to do. And I tried both. I hated it. It didn't play to my strengths. Lots of tears. And then when I thought, you know, I think I want to do this HR thing, I remember everybody talking about, well, in HR, if you do HR, you want to be a generalist or you want to do OD. So I said, yeah, that's what I want to do. And I had internships, and I started my full-time career in HR as a generalist. And then it was the same thing of like, this doesn't feel right. Like, this isn't taking good use of my skills or my interests. And it wasn't until, but being a generalist, I got to, you know, dip my toe in a lot of different areas. And I had this inkling, like, maybe I'd like this comp thing, but I don't really know what it's about. Yeah. And Starbucks, the manager who hired me at that time, said the same thing. Like, I think you can do this. I can teach you the comp thing because I can see you're capable, but you bring a different perspective that I don't have on my team. So I want you to join Starbucks. And literally that first year, usually I can tell whether I'm in or out. And it felt like only a month had passed by. Like, it went so fast. And I was like, this works. This is exactly what I've been looking for. So 13 years, and that's going to be my career for the rest of my life.
Awesome. So I think a segue kind of go into the, hey, this feels right. What makes you feel inspired and like your best self? Like, how do you show up best?
Yeah. I feel super thankful to work at Starbucks because we talk about this a lot, about how do you bring your best self to work. And for me, it's a couple of things. One is I have to feel like I can be authentic, that I can actually speak my voice and not feel like I have to be somebody different. I can speak up when I say, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll get back to you. Or I disagree with that respectfully. And that helps me when I actually can feel like I'm truly being myself. That makes me feel great. The other thing that really inspires me is feeling like I'm making an impact and I'm helping others, whether that be I'm talking to the business and I've brought an idea that they didn't even think about or know about, or just talking to my team and teaching them a new Excel formula that I knew and they've never seen before. But all of that, like, that's really what inspires me, is just making an impact to others and feeling like I'm not trying to be somebody else.
That's awesome. I think, you know, something that I'm taking from you right now, and obviously your experience in Starbucks and why you've been there for the career that you've been, it's just that, you know, Starbucks allows you to be you. It allows you to do what you're passionate about and allows you to help people. Does that sound about right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when you're early on in your career, you think that there's a way that you need to show up. And transparently, I did that. Yeah. I hid a lot of myself to try to be something that I really wasn't. And I think in the last few years, there's just been a lot more discussion about we can't do the best for our partners unless we take care of ourselves, unless we're being real. And so I'm naturally introverted. I actually don't like talking in big groups, but I knew that something was different when I found myself like speaking up, especially with the comp team or in HR, where I'm like, I'm just going to tell these people the thoughts that are in my head. I used to suppress them. And now I can say, and I'll get feedback like, thank you for saying that, because I was thinking the same thing, or thanks for speaking up. Like, I've never heard that opinion before.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, especially for an introvert. I have a couple of introverted friends, and it is not easy. So what's something that people seem to misunderstand about you?
Yeah, this was a good one. And actually, I had to think quite a bit. I would say that on paper, it looks like I have everything together. So I have a great job. I have 3 kids. I'm this awesome wife. I play tennis on the side and I volunteer in my community, which I do those things, but it doesn't mean I have it all together. And honestly, day to day, it's a balancing act. And there are many, many days where I don't feel great about the choices I made, where I feel like I have failed in different parts of my life. And on it's like every night, it's a time of reflection for me of like, did I feel good about the choices I made today? And there are a lot of times where it's like, you know what? Yelling at the kids because I wanted to finish up that PowerPoint when they wanted me to come to dinner probably wasn't like, that doesn't make me feel proud. And let's try not to do that tomorrow.
That's awesome.
So I don't have it all together. I have not figured it out.
So have you had a mentor or a role model in the industry that's kind of helped you through your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I think about my mentor, I always talk about her. She was actually the person that hired me at Starbucks. And she also was the last manager that I had before she retired. And I think what makes her so special in my life is not just, she did teach me compensation and the fundamentals. So of course, I have tons of deep respect for her technical knowledge. It was towards the end of her career that I got the most value from her. She taught me some life lessons around, you know, it's never worth your physical health or your mental health to be putting all of this stress on your job. We don't actually save lives. Like, she had to remind me that. She herself sacrificed a lot in her life. And looking back, you know, she says that wasn't worth it. We talked about dying on our sword and, you know, feeling so disappointed when we don't win that battle. Like, we didn't convince them. And she said, you know what, that's not worth it either. She kind of taught me like, you know, our job is to share the risks and all the considerations and why you have an informed opinion that you have, and you try your best to influence them. But if you don't win, don't worry. Like, you know, you did your job. You told them what could happen and all the considerations and let the business make the decision. And once they do, then support them. And if they make the wrong decision and we get to the place where you told them, then you support them again.
That one hits home for me. I've been in this industry. I've been in comp for 10 years. And I say this year is the first time that I'm starting to like tell myself that exact thing, because like the stress is like to the point where I'm having heart palpitations. I can't sleep. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yes.
Oh man. I wish I had gotten that advice sooner, but definitely I can agree, especially when you're, you know, you really care about the people that you're supporting and you're like, no, don't do this. Don't do this because of these reasons. And, you know, and then afterwards you're like, see,
but we won't say that. We'll
say,
you
don't say that, but you're thinking it.
We understand that.
Yeah. No, that's great. So like, I think this is really cool because, you know, we haven't really done podcasts where you really get to know leaders in the industry and like what makes them tick, what do they love to do, what do they do. And so this is just really exciting to just really understand a little bit more about you and your journey. And so if we want to flip this to Starbucks, I know you've mentioned a couple of things that kind of you think makes Starbucks great. So what's the one thing, if you could think of one thing, I'm pretty sure there are more than one, but what's the one thing that Starbucks did for its employees that you were like, wow, they did that?
We do a lot of things. You're right. It actually really was hard to think of just that one thing. I'd say generically, the number of times we talk about our employees, which we refer to as partners, mm-hmm. in any executive decision always blows my mind, even the CEO and the committees. And but a couple of things that stand out to me is during COVID, right? So this is this unprecedented event. None of us have ever experienced. We don't know what we're doing. And we actually came up with some principles in the beginning about making sure that our partners never had to choose between their health and work, meaning like they feel like even though they're scared for their health, they need the dollar, they need their money in their pocket.
Yeah.
And when we didn't really know what the guidelines were around what's safe and what's not safe, we actually talked to our partners and said, you choose. If you don't feel comfortable coming to work, you stay at home. And we will continue to pay you for as if you had come to work. And I remember thinking like, that's insane. I cannot believe that and it was quite a bit of money because quite a few partners at that time, we didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
Said, yeah, I'm staying at home. And so they continued to get paid just the amount. And we had to continue to pay the partners that actually did come to work and pay them more. And that was a decision that stuck for quite a long time. It wasn't just a 1 week, 2 week thing. Wow. So
that's always really impressive.
That made me really proud. Yeah.
So I think we can probably ascertain the answer to this question, but you worked for Starbucks and then you left and then you came back. What brought you back?
Yeah, you probably could ascertain. There's so many things though. For sure the people. So my manager was still the same manager. My manager's manager was the same. So I had those relationships. And of course, she became my role model. So that's a big incentive. I really missed working with the business. So when I left the first time, it was to get executive compensation experience. Mm-hmm. And that's just a very different beast. You're working on filings and doing a lot of research and getting really deep into a very narrow niche subject. But there wasn't a lot of interaction with like, hey, stores, what are you dealing with? What are the problems I can help you with? And rolling out solutions very quickly and being nimbly. I really missed being able to do that and consult with the business. I also understand Starbucks's business. I love what we do. I know our products. I know how we make money. And I was at a tech company previously. Mm-hmm. I know that the cloud makes money, but if you ask me how, I still can't explain how. So it was always this, like, I don't really understand the business completely. And then I think we are a company that truly does live out our mission and values. It's so core to who we are and the people that we attract. And I miss that. I missed being at a company where that was front and center of all of our decisions, whether you're in compensation, HR, legal, it didn't matter.
That's awesome.
Those are the things that brought me back.
That's awesome. All right. So now I want to pivot to just our industry in general. Obviously, we've been through a lot over the past year and a half, and there's been so many changes. And so I just want to talk a little bit about, so what's the one total rewards issue that keeps you up at night? It could be something as a result of COVID, or it could just be something in general. Mm-hmm. What's the one issue that it really keeps you up?
Yeah, I'm actually going to talk just about two quick ones.
Okay.
Being in the restaurant retailer industry, we know that $15 is coming. And yes. So that doesn't actually keep me up at night because that keeps me up during the day, right? Everybody's always asking, what's our plan? What keeps me up at night around that one is what's going to happen after we all get to 15? Because it won't end there.
No.
And I don't think that being compensation professionals, we know $15 is not a silver bullet solution. It doesn't fix staffing challenges, attrition, attraction. I mean, it is a Band-Aid, I actually think. And it's probably more foundational. Once we get that, there's something else. And so I've been trying to think through, like, what is that next investment and push to look like that meets our partner's needs, is also fiscally responsible and market competitive. The second thing I think about is probably more on the non-retail side, but within like the corporate functions, there's a lot of talk about pay transparency.
Oh.
And from what I gather, from what I've heard, I think people think pay transparency is tell me what everybody else makes. And I don't think that that will make people satisfied with their pay. So I go back to like, how do we start educating people on what we do? Like, what do we consider when we're building out pay programs? So that's been a lot on my mind, because we get a lot of like, what are you guys doing around pay transparency? Why can't we make everything visible? We want to see everybody's grade and their pay range. And I really want to help others that are not in our field understand a little bit about what we do. But
yeah,
we're not making stuff up. We actually have credible sources that we reference, and we do understand what's happening in the market.
Yeah, that's, oh yeah. Everyone's a comp professional is what I found. Everyone gets paid. That's what my first boss told me. Everyone's a comp professional. Everyone gets paid. So everyone can tell you how it should be done better.
That's a good one.
Okay, so like I said, you've been in the industry for 13 years now. What has fundamentally changed about your work from when you started in the field to now?
Yeah. So 13 years, I think there's changes in the industry. There's also changes in just my role. And so one thing I was thinking through was, you know, I love me a good Excel problem. I love being a doer. That's what really drew me to this function. But as my role has expanded, now I'm probably the worst person at Excel, and everybody on my team probably knows more about Access and Tableau than I do. And what I have been surprised about is that the skills as you grow in this career are probably not those analytical skills that you leaned on before. It's actually storytelling.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to solve problems in a different manner. It's not just the numbers. You have the numbers, but it's really about how do you articulate your business case?
Yes.
Writing has been a big one for me, especially during COVID, as a lot of things are being decided over email. And how do you have that right balance of giving them enough information, but not too much information, even the text versus the table?
Yes.
Depending on your audience. And then, of course, it's the strategic thinking. It's not just about solving the problem today, but thinking through, you have a plan for the future. It may not be the exact one that you're necessarily going to follow, but you are thinking about it. I think that's what a lot of the problems that I'm facing now in my role have been.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, if you look at our industry, it's been the same for so many years. And then since 2015, it's just like, it's kind of gotten flipped on its head, and it's just progressively changing and getting worse for like administrators like us who are trying to do business or help our businesses do business. You know, so that I can, it's just amazing. Like, I literally came in right at the beginning of kind of like the mid-wage push, and, you know, it wasn't a thing. You know, and now it's like you're on a whirlwind every year. You never know what legislation is coming out, what scheduling is coming out. So you're always kind of chasing and reacting. And so you imagine how that impacts somebody at your level when you're trying to make decisions quickly and there's just constantly new information.
Yeah. And being ready for that and planning for the unknown. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So I just have one more question. And then, you know, any closing comments that you would like to provide. So what's something that you believe professionals in your industry, so in Total Rewards, should stop doing or should start doing, or both?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. I think a lot of people do this, but we could do it more. And I think about the fact that a lot of compensation professionals are probably more introverted. We like being behind the scenes. I think we can do a lot better about just sharing. And I think we've avoided it because compensation is so private, and we wanted to make sure that it was kept We didn't share any of our secrets, but I think about what we just talked about, the changes in the industry, the revolution of crowdsourced data. And I'm sure all of us are facing it when people are like, look, I found this on PayScale. I'm supposed to get paid this.
Oh boy.
I would love for all of us to get together and just talk about this is real. And so even though survey data, we have it, we can't rely on it solely anymore. And how are people dealing with this? It kind of goes back to my, what would we stop? I don't think we can rest on our laurels and say, we have this survey from Mercer, Towers, and Aon Hewitt. And so this is what you get paid. I mean, especially in retail, surveys are not just lagging. They're just irrelevant after a month.
Completely irrelevant. And then, because of the labor rules, you can't get any data until it's at least 3 months old. So that's a whole quarter that's passed in retail. That's old news.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we need to just get smart. Let's just get ahead. We know what's out there. The other thing I would say is, as in my experience, compensation has always been like, we will do all the work and HR generalists, you go be the face. You go talk to people about it. And I do think that there's benefit. There are advantages to that. I do think that there's opportunity for us as compensation professionals to go direct, like let us be the face of our programs because we can explain it better than any HR generalist can. And I think that people are surprised. Employees are often surprised that companies have compensation functions.
Oh yeah.
A lot of my friends will say, like, what do you do? And does my company have that? Like, I'm pretty sure you have that. Like, you know, we have these grades and salary structures and it's actually backed up by data. So I think the more and more we can get out there so that it becomes a real, like there's more credibility for our employees to know that there's thoughtfulness and consideration into their pay, but also for us to tell our story and to actually be clear on our messaging.
Yeah. I think that's actually changed my life recently. I just noticed, you know, not necessarily with me, but maybe other people on my team, there was a lot of fighting or arguing. And also there's a lot of back and forth emails over like asking pieces of questions at a time. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to take my experience and my knowledge and I know what I know they want. And not only am I going to communicate to them what I think is best, but I'm going to provide them the supporting reasons why. And that changed everything. Literally, I would get responses, oh my goodness, thank you so much. This makes so much sense. Yeah. Now this person can go and take that knowledge and use that for all their future decisions when it comes to their team versus us having this exact same conversation a couple months down the line when they want to promote an employee or something like that. So it just changed everything. And I just like, wow. And I'm expecting people to, you know, fight more. And they're like, no, oh, this is amazing. Oh, thank you so much. You know, like here's a document or here's a link. And so it's just, I've noticed that, you know, it's not that everyone just wants to fight. They just want to do what's right for their people. And so as long as we're presenting it to them, like, hey, we took all these things into consideration and we felt like this was fair. And it's like, no, you're right. And so it's versus, oh no, this is what it has to be. It's just a completely different angle. And I think that's amazing. So before we close, any final words, any parting words?
I was thinking there was a question that we didn't talk about around just things that I've learned.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a couple of things that I would love to share with this audience. And hopefully it resonates, but you talked about it. Everybody thinks they're a compensation professional because they get paid. And so pay is super personal.
Yes.
And I am sure we all hear complaints from all over the place. And what I have learned is, but we can't take it personally. So when we get the complaints, it's so hard not to feel defensive or feel like we got to explain everything. I think sometimes people just want to be heard. And to your point, what you were talking about, just explaining where it came from. And compensation, I don't think it is not black and white. Mostly it's gray. Mm-hmm. But as long as we have strong rationale and we have thought about all the different factors and considerations, people will listen and they will understand. But I do think it brings me down when, you know, there are days where I get multiple emails talking about how we're not in touch and we don't know and they can't hire anybody. It's our fault. It's not our fault.
Oh,
it's not our fault. It's none of our faults. We are doing the best we can. The other thing I was going to share, which hopefully this also resonates, the higher and higher I've moved up, I've been able to be in rooms with very high level executives. And it used to freak me out, like really nerve wracking to the point where I can't even think. And then I realized these are just people. Even your CEO or these board members, they are people. They're moms and dads and grandparents, husbands and wives. And in fact, you know more about compensation than they do.
Yep.
In most cases. So I do think that that also helped me, and it helps, continues to help me in those meetings to just share what I know and not feel like it has to be this perfect buttoned up answer all the time, because yeah. they just want to learn.
That's really valuable.
Good.
So thank you so much for your time, Jeannie.
Yeah.
And thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Serving Up Podcast. Goodbye for now.
Bye.